Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert, the opening titles are quite long. Game of Thrones spoilers.
2019. You really should cut the booze, lose 50 kilos, and fulfill your lifelong dream of becoming a YouTube star by taking up extreme parkour. That's why you're here. This isn't a radio show. It's a spiritual journey to help you live your best life. It can't help you achieve any of your goals, but it will make you much, much, much better at sex. Welcome to Radio Chaser.
Oh, yes, welcome to Radio Chaser. Andrew Hansen's here. Charles Firth is here. My name is Dom Knight. Look, the election result, a bit of a surprise. We didn't call it here at the Radio Chaser Political Science Lab, did we?
Well, we called it totally the opposite. We were completely and utterly, bizarrely, totally wrong. Yeah, look, we were useless.
In fairness, though, all the polls got it wrong. Like, every single poll, including the internal party polls, all got it wrong. And I, to be honest, I think the reason is that everyone was adjusting for the fact that ScoMo pooed his pants at Egerton Macca's in 1997. And they just went, oh, well, we'll adjust that, you know, nobody's going to endorse that in our Prime Minister. And instead, Aussies just went, yeah!
It made him a legend. It's like riding the strip club all over again. But I don't know how invested we were all personally in the result. I mean, Andrew, you aren't too into politics. You don't really care. I wasn't that bothered. But there's one person here who was out there on Saturday with the family handing out. I've seen it on the Charles Firth official Instagram. Andrew, did you see that photo?
Yeah, I did, dummy. I saw your little post there, Charles. You were out there batting for the team that everyone hates.
Yeah, Fraser Anning's Fraser Anning's whatever it's called party. Nazi party.
Have you got the egg off your head yet?
That's right, exactly.
No, Charles, we're out there handing out for bloody Labour, you lefty pinko.
For the Labour party. No, it's mainly because my kids look really good in red. And that's the official colour of the Labour Party, so it's very good.
Well, but look, there is a bit of a mea culpa, because on Friday we did an in memoriam for Scott Morrison. Look, we thought it could have been premature, but sports bet had paid out. We thought it was kind of game over. So we played a sketch saying that he died. But the thing is, as you always do, we prepared ones for both eventualities. Same way that the leaders write a victory in a concession speech. And listening back to the in memoriam for Shorten this morning, guys, I actually think it's pretty obvious who's going to lose the election. Have a listen and see if you can pick why we really should have picked this one.
Radio Chaser presents In Memoriam, Bill Shorten. Bill Shorten rose to prominence during the Beaconsfield mining disaster and then moved to Canberra to spend time in an even bigger hole. There, he knifed a series of beloved and popular leaders to win the leadership, even though nobody liked him. During his 6 years as Labour leader, nobody liked him. In 2019, his fortunes reversed, and he was destined to become Prime Minister at last. But then everyone remembered they didn't like him. He is survived by a few of his beloved numbers. 0 for the elections he won, 2 for his fulsome man boobs, and another 0 for the number of people who ever liked him. Farewell, Bill Shorten. Even I, the voiceover guy doing your tribute package, really don't like you.
Radio Chaser, Triple M.
And we're all still confused about why Labor lost, because everyone thought they were going to absolutely smash it in. They didn't smash it in.
I've got a theory on
why. Why did they lose, Charles? Tell us why.
Because they didn't get enough votes.
Okay, that's one theory. Look, you can believe in that if you like, but I've got the real answer.
Oh, yeah.
I've discovered the reason, the one reason that Labor lost. And I discovered this by reading the news. And I've read all the headlines that say the reason why Labor lost.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one reason. I'll run you through all 20 of that one reason. Okay, you ready? Now, ABC said, and this is pretty well known, Queensland turned its back on Labor.
That's why.
ABC also said 6 towns turned their back on Bill Shorten and they're not all in Queensland.
That's why.
Now, The Age, meanwhile, their take on it was they said change is hard to come by in this country.
That's why.
The Age also said there were two words with the reason. They said retiree tax, the policy that helped Labor lose the election.
That's why.
Meanwhile, the Mercury give us the reason, and the reason is that Labor's agenda was way too ambitious.
That's why.
Yahoo Finance gave us the reason. They said because Labor didn't campaign on the economy.
That's why.
The West Australian, they've got the reason. It's because Australians won't cop class warfare.
That's why.
SBS says the reason is because of climate change.
That's why.
News.com.au, meanwhile, they're saying, this is an interesting one, actually. This is what the headline says. Shorten's promise to himself ended up being his biggest problem.
That's why.
I read the article to try and work out what his promise to himself was. No idea. I'm none the wiser.
His
the article does
promise.
Not explain. I don't know. Maybe he promised himself to lose. And that's why. Daily Telegraph, they've got my favourite reason, which is that voters, quote, embraced sanity.
That's why.
It's funny that they would decide to do that. The New Daily, the reason that Labour lost was Bob Brown.
That's why.
They're going out there. It was Bob Brown that cost them the election somehow. Who knows how? And the Daily Mail has got what I think might be the ultimate reason, that Bob Catter reveals how Tanya Plibersek and loudmouth party extremists blew 6 seats.
That's why.
So there you go. That's the one reason why Labour lost. I'd like to leave the final word to Clive Palmer himself. He told the media that Labour lost because of his ads. It's funny that, because his annoying ads also cost him the election.
That's why.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert. It's so darkly lit, we can't work out what happened to spoil it for you. Game of Thrones spoilers. You love Coles Radio, but have you tried Aldi Radio? All the classics you know and love, modified slightly to make cheap knockoffs that are almost but not quite as good as the originals. This month, check out Aldi Radio's classic-sounding hits from The Bleatles.
Hey, Jubes, you make me glad. Take a small sweet and change one letter.
Can't fit my gloves. Everybody tells me to sew. Can't fit my gloves. So.
Or if you're into modern hits, Aldi has songs from Trailer Thrift.
Bake it off. Bake it off.
And George Extra.
I'll be writing mock songs, vaguely like the real ones. Not as good as real ones, 'cause they're fake.
Plus, Aldi Radio has all of John Farnham's hits.
You're the voice, try and understand it.
Not a cheap knockoff. We were easily able to afford the real thing.
Take the pressure down.
So next time you want to listen to Coles Radio, tune in to Aldi Radio. It's almost, but not quite, as good.
Radio Chaser, yeah. Triple M.
And we're talking about that guy who went on an all-beer diet.
I love his work. That's really funny. Mm. He apparently lost weight. A guy who works at a brewery.
He didn't just lose weight. He lost 20 kilos from just drinking beer for, I think it was about 3 weeks.
It's the whole of Lent, whatever that means.
Yeah, yeah. It was quite a long time.
Wow, it's amazing what a lot of throwing up will do.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, permanent liver damage, but he lost his weight.
And he lost his liver too, probably.
Anyway.
Was it the liver that weighed the 20 kilos and they just had to whip it out? That's why he's lighter.
Yeah, probably. Now, the thing is, I actually bumped into a friend on the weekend, and he had lost 28 kilograms since
last
time.
Oh,
that's good going for that, especially if I know that guy, because he only weighed 38 kilos to start with. He's doing amazing.
But, you know, well, my son weighs 28 kilograms. Like, he's actually lost a whole human's worth of weight.
Yeah, that's 3 times the weight of my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, and anyway, I asked him what his trick was, and he went, all beer diet. No, he didn't say that. No, what he said, he's got this crazy, horrible sounding diet, which is 800 calories a day is what he's allowed, which is basically two salad sandwiches a day.
Yeah, that's like a third of what you're supposed to eat, isn't it, to stay awake?
Yes, that's right, yeah. And he's permanently grumpy.
You shouldn't just eat salad sandwiches, though, Charles, because Jared Fogle did that in Subway diet and turned him to a paedophile.
Yeah, it's very dangerous, isn't it?
Anyway, so I thought we should put it out to the callers. You know, 133353, how much have you ever lost in a diet? Because 28 kilos, I reckon that is pretty much the maximum anyone can lose.
That is very impressive. If you've lost a lot of weight, 133353. I lost like 3 for my wedding, and that was hard work. Yeah. Chase, the line's open now. Your best diet success, lots of kilos. We've got Daniel in North Richmond. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you going, bud?
How much did you lose, and how'd you do it?
I wasn't a big man of weight. It was like 12 kilos, but it was the time frame. I lost that in 5 days.
Oh my gosh.
5 days?
Was that just dehydration? Did you just not drink any liquids for 5 days?
probably would have helped, but no, I was just, I'm still pretty fit, but I did put on a little bit of weight. But a lot of sit-ups, push-ups, and I was still big into my bike riding, so I was just a hell of a lot of bike riding. I was doing about 600 k's a week.
Oh, my God.
And just the right type of eating, mate, you know?
Yeah, so thanks very much for calling, Daniel, but that's not really very useful.
Yeah, like, I'm just super depressed now. Thanks, Daniel.
Sounds like a huge amount of work. I think I prefer the beer diet, to be honest.
Yeah. I went in botany. We saw him at Sausage Fest, so we know he's not always eating healthily. Hey, Owen, how much did you lose?
Look, I lost 15 kilos, but it was over 2 weeks. And how I did it, I would have a lean cuisine of a night and for lunch, nothing for breakfast. It was just a plain salad with no dressing and a few vitamins, but I was playing squash 3 times a week to try and get as much of the badness out of my system, and that's how I lost the weight. But after last Friday, I think I put it all on.
Good to have you there. Now, there you go. Charles, you're a squash player. You should be lean and ferrety.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, with the salad, could it just be a sausage salad? Would that be, is that allowed?
A vegan salad.
All right. Thanks very much, Owen. Good to see you last week. Nick in Glenswood Hills. Hello. How much did you lose?
How are you? Yeah, I lost 35 kilos over the span of about 12 to 16 months.
That's very impressive.
Ooh. How did you do it?
Well, at my heaviest, I was 120, and I was pretty unhappy with myself and what I saw, so I decided to make a change and took up mixed martial arts training. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, that along with a strict diet, I lost, 35 kilos.
Mixed martial arts. So what's mixed martial arts? You start out as a sumo wrestler and you end up as a karate master?
No, it's just basically everything put together. So anything goes with your boxing, kickboxing, or your grappling, so your jiu-jitsu, your wrestling, your judo, all that.
That's like UFC, right? So you probably broke every single bone in your body several times, but at least you lost weight. Let's go to Mark in Cogra. Hey, Mark, how much weight did you lose and how'd you do it?
I lost 112 kilos.
Oh,
wow.
What? No, that's not possible.
Yeah. Actually, no, sorry, 114. I was 196 and I'm down to 82.
That is phenomenal.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And how did you do it?
Chainsaw.
Just boring. Soaked my mouth up. Just boring stuff. Exercise and same as what the other guys were saying. Exercise and what you're eating.
You mean there's no magic diet that just drops kilos?
I did have to have one off where they had to remove a heap of skin because of all the loose skin.
That's extraordinary.
Wow.
Oh, really? That's the best bit. Did you keep it and, fry it up?
one of my mates ordered a set of seat covers and a pair of moccasins.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert, there'll be lots of gratuitous breasts and, for balance, one gratuitous knob. Game of Thrones spoilers.
Talking of gratuitous knobs, the election results took everyone by surprise, didn't they? Yep. Like, nobody predicted it. Sportsbet paid out $1.3 million early on Labor winning. And even the internal pollsters, even Scott Morrison's own pollsters said, mate, you're going to lose on Friday night. And he hadn't even written an acceptance speech. That's how unexpected it was.
It was fairly obvious, wasn't it?
Well, it turns out that, we actually got a reporter and we sent him down to News Poll and to have a look at why the News Poll's all stuffed up.
It is here in the offices of News Poll that statisticians calculate the polling numbers that can make or break governments. But how are they calculated? The head of News Poll explains.
Well, our call centre calls up and asks voters whether they support Labor or Liberal. Then we take those results, note them down very carefully so there is no opportunity for errors. And then we throw all those results in the bin and guess what the result will be.
Guess?
Oh, yes. I mean, we used to use the answers the voters gave us, but we found the results were too boring. Yeah, no suspense when it came around to polling day.
Meanwhile, over at ReachTel, the pollsters have a different approach, where they add up the answers from voters.
Okay, so three votes for Shorten plus four votes for Shorten. Three plus four equals... Hey, Jeff! What does three plus four equal?
Three plus four? I think it's about 15. Ask Steve.
Hey, Steve! What does three plus four equal?
Oh, I don't know. Just call it 600 to be safe.
But despite this rigorous approach, polling companies are under fire after getting Saturday's election results wrong. But the head of News Poll says it's nothing to worry about.
Look, we did our own survey and found that out of the 25 million people in Australia, over 30 million of them trust our polls to be accurate.
This is Gary Hollow reporting for Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
And now it's time for...
Celebrity Sounds!
Right, Charles and Domi, I'm going to play you some of a TV commercial. And the game is that all you have to do is tell me which famous actor is selling out in this commercial just by listening to their voice. Now, this ad is from Japan. It is for a car called the Wagon R. And as you'll hear, the Wagon R is new.
The new Wagon R. New.
Can you tell me who that is?
Can we hear it
again? Looking baffled. Look, I'll give you another hint. This actor is very stylish, very powerful, as proven by this other ad he did for the Wagon R.
Style is power. Double R.
Oh, is that Tom Cruise?
Reasonable guess, Charles. It is not Tom Cruise. You are incorrect. Do you want another one?
I'm very confused. I forget this, but no, I've got no clue who this is.
Here's a little cut together of the actor sitting in the Wagon R and telling it to go.
Go Wagon R!
Go Wagon R!
Go Wagon R!
Senshishi no Wagon R!
Okay, I reckon...
Japanese guy, not the actor.
Look, this is just... I have no reason why I'm saying this, but is it... Is it Keanu Reeves?
Oh, that's another very good guess, Charles. You're kind of in the same sort of generational territory, but again, incorrect.
Is it Leo DiCaprio?
Charles Firth, you have got it correct. It is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, it's very impressive.
You are absolutely right. You know, he's very talented, this man. He even as they sometimes do in these Japanese ads, he had a go at speaking Japanese. And this is what happened in my favourite Wagon R ad, where Leo gets in the car and he drives the car really fast past these two pretty girls whose dresses blow up, revealing their underpants, and they quickly pat their dresses down, and then Leo pulls over and stares at them meaningfully and says this.
Shiro Ichigo.
He says, Shiro Ichigo, which I suppose means I should not have done this ad. I don't know. well, actually, speaking of which, we've got Leo here in the studio. I mean, Leo, can you just explain to me for 1 minute why you sold out so massively in this series of ridiculous commercials where ladies' dresses blow up?
I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time.
Radio Chaser on Triple M. I like
big snack. Then I cannot buy. You are the eaters. Can't deny that when a girl walks in with an chip and a wagon wheel in your face, you get hungry. Baby got snack.
That's right. This is the highbrow edition of Baby Got Snack. Usually, Chaz comes in and does twisties or Jats biscuits or something, you know, that the plebs eat. This is for the top end of town, this one.
Says the man who was handing out for labour on Saturday.
And so, what I wanted to do is I wanted to find the most expensive food in the world. And I went to David Jones' food hall this afternoon. No, I really did. And they had Iranian caviar there, 50 grams of it for sale for $250, which works out at $5,000 a kilogram. And I said to them, I don't think I can afford that. And they went, oh, that's actually the cheap stuff. There's stuff that's not on display. It's beluga caviar, right, which is like the most expensive thing in the world. $30,000 a kilogram. They'll get it in for you.
A kilo? This is fish eggs, right?
Yeah.
Are they even free range? Or...
No, actually, they're not. They're farmed. Like the Iranian caviar, it was said farmed.
Well, how easy would that be? You just have to have a few fish in a tank and you're raking in there. I mean, that's...
So what did you get, Charles, on the budget of someone who only works for 1 hour a day?
That's right. Well, so I thought it's still got to be a rip-off. Like, it's got to be a rip-off. But what I have instead got is a thing which you can buy at David Jones called Chardonnay pears.
You are such a Chardonnay socialist pear, Charles.
And it's 300 grams of pears, which is basically one pear, and it costs $15.
Oh, my God.
$14.95.
Right, but it's got Chardonnay poured all over it, doesn't it? You're holding a jar of pear slices, it looks like to me, with Chardy sort of drowning them.
It's basically half a glass of Chardonnay with pears for $15.
We should go to the business of making this stuff. You can get Chardonnay for $5 a bottle.
And they haven't even peeled the pear. You got the pear skin.
I could totally do better than that right now. Just peel a pear and get a goon bag.
Anyway, so they said you've got to have it with yogurt or something like that. Like, you can't just eat a $15 pear on its own.
Yeah.
It needs to be paired with something. And so I went to the yogurt counter at David Jones and bought a small tub of vanilla bean yogurt for $11. And it's Koyo yogurt. It's coconut milk yogurt.
I love this stuff. I adore this stuff because I can't have milk, right? It gives me a real stomach ache. So I was eating that Koyo yogurt.
Oh, really?
And I loved it. I was eating it instead of real yogurt every day for breakfast.
And now one day,
well, I'm broke as one thing. My I've lost my house, but also I looked up the nutritional information one day and discovered it's killing me.
Oh.
Got about 80 grams of fat per 10 grams of the food.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, let's just taste it. Is it any good?
Chardonnay pear and coconut yogurt.
It's heaven. This is amazing.
It tastes like a pear with yogurt. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Vote Liberal. You can afford it.
Triple M Radio Chaser.
Cat's pyjamas or cat's piss.
For some reason, these are all from the UK today. Let's have some very good stories around today. Now, there's a guy called Nigel Farage, who's a kind of pro-Brexit guy that lots of people don't like. He's having a rally near Edinburgh because there's some elections coming up. The point is that the local McDonald's in Edinburgh were told by the police they can't sell ice cream or milkshakes because of the chance that someone will peg ice creams and milkshakes at this guy. Is that cat's pyjamas or cat's piss?
Oh, well, that's cat's piss. What about your democratic right to throw a milkshake at a fascist?
Have they not discovered egging?
Yeah, look, I think the one they're supposed to be banning is the sausage and egg McMuffin, I would think. I mean, it's eggs that are going to end up in this guy's
head. I've always thought it's the filo fish that you've got to ban. That's never fresh.
Well, come on, Joe. I bet it'd be good to throw. I mean, great to throw a fillet of fish. In fact, there's so many wonderful Macca's treats that you could throw at this guy, like nuggets.
You could get the pickle.
Get the bacon out of the bacon and egg McMuffin, and then you'd sort of have a flying pig scenario.
But, guys, surely you all agree that Macca's is so delicious that it'd be a real loss to throw the stuff.
Well, it would. It should be eaten and enjoyed because I'm loving it. Thank you for sponsoring it.
Loving it. Loving it. That did wonderful work. Anyway, that bad. I think that's really fascinating. We should look at that with eggs for the next election. Now, also in the UK, the Queen, it's just been revealed, has a dedicated servant to break in her shoes and avoid pesky blisters, says the Daily Mirror in the UK. Actually, a servant who breaks in her leather shoes. Is that cat's pyjamas or cat's piss?
Well, the England has a long history of these sorts of jobs. I remember because there was a toilet seat warmer position, wasn't there?
Probably.
For Prince Charles, I think, has it.
You don't tell us about what you dreamed of being when you wanted to grow up. Well,
Or was that an episode of Tom Brown's School Days? I can't remember.
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
But don't you think that this employee would just constantly have blisters? If they're always trying on only new shoes 24/7, they've probably just got bloody stumps where their feet used to be.
It would be rough, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine coming home at the end of the day and just, oh, no. I've just got to wear UGG boots the rest of my life. I go on the weekend.
Well done, Your Majesty. And look, finally, the original Spice Girls bus, as seen in the movie Spice World, is available as an Airbnb rental. Are you going to sign up, Charles, next time you go to the UK? Hey,
hang on. I've seen the original Spice World movie, and that's a model. It's a fake bus. They remember the whole thing? They pan back, and it's actually Richard E. Grant is standing over the bus. And it's just a little toy model.
I think it's actually the one that they use in the Olympics. In fact, are you on board, Hanson?
No, I'm not on board. I don't see the idea of sleeping on a bus as especially luxurious, whether it's the Spice Girls bus or any other bus. I mean, it's still a bus. It doesn't matter that it's been in a movie. I mean, gosh, and you'd have to tap off when you left as well, or you'd be overcharged.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Game of Thrones spoilers. Spoiler alert, the final episode is just Bran staring for 80 minutes. Game of Thrones spoilers.